You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in once again to 91.5 FM WMIE, today's Modern Worship. My name is Bob Arthurs, and we're going to be spending a few minutes here today with you, whether you're at work or home, wherever you may be driving down the road. We're going to be talking about the Word of God today. We're talking about, you know, how do we purge covetousness or greed out of our lives to where we look at other people and we say, hey, whatever you've got, that's what I want. We don't need to live like that. We don't have to be jealous of other people, and we don't have to spend our entire time trying to scheme a way how to appropriate in our lives what belongs to another group or another person or whatever. So I want to say thank you today to the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you need any block or concrete work done, I realize that there's probably not a whole lot of construction people that listen to this program, but if you do need someone who is very, very good at what they do, I want to encourage you to call Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. I was out for a walk here not too long ago and walked past one of their job sites, and it was like, that is a lot of block, that is a lot of concrete, and to do that job well, you want to make sure that you have someone who is very experienced at what they do, very good at what they do. And that is exactly the reputation that Jits Concrete has. So whether it's foundational work or sidewalks or a patio or whatever it might be, give them a call and see if y'all cannot come to an agreement on a time frame and a cost factor. And I believe that you will be just as pleased with their work as we have been. 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. So we will resume tonight on Wednesday night our Bible study. Last week we were off because we had some, one of our buildings needed to be treated for termites, and they didn't want anybody in either building during that treatment. And so we are back tonight. We are going to be studying Leveling the Praying Field. I think we're either in the next to last chapter, if I'm not mistaken, of that study before we move on to another topic. But we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. We also have a youth group that meets tonight at 7 p.m. And, you know, life is pretty difficult, pretty challenging. And so I've spoken to my youth leader that you hear on the radio program before, before I come on, and you hear her again afterwards. She does a great job. And I said, you know what? We need to train our young people to be able to touch heaven, because they're going to experience crises in their lives. And so she does a great job. And if you would like to bring your young men or your young ladies out, Merit Assembly of God, 7 o'clock tonight, and allow God to have his way with them in their life. I can tell you this, that if we do not disciple our young people in the ways of God, the world will be happy to disciple them in the ways contrary to God. We don't want that. We want to see them become mighty men of and women of valor and virtue and power. So 7 o'clock tonight, we would love to see you there. We're going to go back into the Word of God today, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We're going to read the whole chapter again. And it says, "Now concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that as I said, you may be ready, lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work." I think we will stop reading there for the time being. So let's look back here at verse number 4 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It says, "Lest if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand." What Paul was doing was he was setting the Corinthians up for success and not for failure. You see, I believe very much that God sets us up to succeed. And part of that success was being prepared and having a strategy in place. I will never forget the first time that I had, well, he was the former president of the Bible college that I attended. He had been a missionary, and I invited him to come and preach our missions convention. And I was very intrigued because he and I were sitting at the same table, and he showed up. His GPS sent him to the wrong address. And so he showed up a little bit late. So our conversation before the banquet was kind of abbreviated. And he says, "Okay, so what is your goal for your missions program for this coming year?" And I told him, and just immediately he broke it down and he said, "Okay, so what you are looking at is X number of dollars a month." And all of a sudden I realized that I had another missionary speaker after that, and he came in and he said, "Okay, so here's what we have found to be very successful, and that is, not only do you take it from a year to a month, but we have found that if you give people an understanding of what it takes a week." And it was like, oh. And so for me, it became part of my personal process, the procedure that I go to help me to achieve the giving goal that God has deposited in my heart. There needs to be some preparation there. There needs to be a process in place. There needs to be divine strategy. A lot of times people go through life with no strategic thinking whatsoever. And if you don't have a plan, if you don't have a strategy, then you're never going to make any improvements. You're never going to make any changes. We're not that far removed from Christmas. But I have already started praying and thinking about next Christmas And God spoke something to my heart that I believe is going to make our Christmas Eve service even better next year than it was this year. And so please understand that God is not a haphazard God. He is a very strategic God. He is not a God who takes delight in seeing us fail. He does take delight in seeing us learn, but he wants to set us up to succeed. And that means in our spiritual walk, as well as in our day-to-day living, as well as in our finances, in our health, in our relationships, whatever it may be. I tell you, God has a strategy. And so we need to quiet ourselves enough to hear from God and ask, okay, God, what is the strategy that you want me to employ to accomplish the goals that you have planted in my heart? So it says, therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously planned, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. Another translation describes this, not as an act of extortion. So we cannot look at the church as just a place where people are pressured and feel like they've got to do this because someone is not going to please. You know, there was a time it actually sparked the Reformation movement where there were people who were pressured to give, and as a result of responding to the pressure, they were promised eternal life. I want you to understand that we do not give to be saved. We give because we are saved, because we love other people being touched with the love of Jesus Christ and come to know him as Lord and Savior. So it may come as a surprise because I'm talking all the time about you know, the missions giving of Merit Assembly of God. But I don't monitor everyone's financial giving. I don't have the brain power to try and keep track of all that. I just try and encourage people to go further down this road of grace than what they've been before and discover new levels of God's goodness and his provision. And so I don't believe for any stretch of the imagination that everybody that comes to Merit Assembly of God has discovered the grace of giving yet. I doubt that everybody who's listening to this radio program has discovered the joy and the grace of God being in charge of your finances. So I'm not here today to pressure you. I'm here today to share information with you and say that this is the only area in the scriptures where God says, prove me in this, test me in this. You will find that I am faithful. We do not give to get, we give to be a blessing. But I will tell you that any person that God can use, and that person is faithful to God's purpose, faithful to God's timing, faithful to the provision that God has made them stewards over, that if you have been faithful in that which is little, he is going to elevate you to being faithful over more, faithful over much. There are a couple of deceptions that a lot of people have when it comes to the timing of when they're going to employ this grace of giving. And many people think, well, as soon as I get past this, as soon as I have this crisis over, as soon as I get out of debt, then I'm going to be faithful to give. And that's not the way that it works in real life. I would say that the failure rate of that process is much higher than what the success rate is, because there's always going to be a financial need. When my wife and I were newlyweds, and I don't remember exactly how long we'd been married, and my dad asked a question, when are you going to have kids? And I said, well, as soon as we can afford to. And he said, in my experience, very few people ever get to the place where they can afford kids. They just happen to end up there, and then they discover that God is faithful to provide as they go along. Because if you do not designate where your resources are going to go, your resources will find a lesser quality place for them to go. And, a lot of people who say, well, I'm as soon as I can afford to give, then I'm going to give. What I have discovered after pastoring Merit Assembly of God is, quite frankly, we can't afford not to give. Every time our missions giving would go up as a church, our general fund giving would go up. It wasn't that one was taking away from the other. God was just looking for an opportunity to elevate the, giving across the board. And so I encourage you to not allow that that procrastinating spirit to have any place in your thinking. The other mindset that people are tempted with is, well, I don't have much to give right now, so I can't give that. But when I get to a point where I make so certain amounts of money, then I'm going to give God and I'm going to be a lavish giver. And again, I have seen throughout my ministry that people who adopt that sort of mindset, that at some point in time, when their finances have improved and it comes time to give, they look around and they say, whoa, that's an awful lot of money. I can't afford to give that. You see, it is never about affording. It's about whether or not that those finances have become an idol in our lives. And if they do, then we're going to say, I cannot afford to be able to do that. A lot of people think, boy, if we just had a rich person in our church, we don't have that many, people that you would classify as rich. I don't know if we've got any in our church that I would think that you would classify as the up and outers. We got some people who have done pretty well. But at one point in time, I did have a millionaire who attended our church, and I discovered that our finances were not impacted that much because a millionaire attended our church. You see, I would much rather have a person who was faithful with, their income being $100 a week than to have a person who doesn't understand the joy of giving at all. Again, let me say, this is not to put pressure on anybody. This is just to hold out to you the real scriptural truth that God is our faithful provider, and that many times he will use provisions that he has given to other believers to use that to sow into other believers' lives to see a need met. And that's just the reality of it. I've had my life blessed by other believers, and I've had the privilege of blessing other people's life as a believer. And I'll tell you, giving is a lot of fun. We had a free yard sale. It was an idea that God had dropped in my wife's spirit, and so I tried it, and we put it together, and we had prices on things, and it didn't go well. And my wife said, "That's not what God had told me. God told me have a yard sale and give the stuff away." And here's what happened. There were two things. There was a lady who was getting married that came to the yard sale, and we had a wedding dress that had been donated for the yard sale, which was free, and it fit her. There was a faithful provision there. Somebody said, "Here, we want to give this to you." And it ended up being just the right size for that lady that was getting married. That was amazing to me. The second thing that happened was I went out and I announced to some people who were looking through stuff. I said, welcome to the yard sale. I just want you to know everything is free. And a person asked this question: "Do you have the authority to make that declaration?" And I chuckled. I said, "You know, that's a really good question. Yes, I'm the pastor. I have the ability. This event was designed to be a blessing to the community. And as a result of that, everything is free. If you see something, it's yours. If you want it, it is yours." Here's the thing that I don't share very often in that story, and that is this. When we put things out there with a price on them, we sold very little. Whenever we put things out there just to be a blessing to people, they ended up making donations to the church that we made more from the donations. They would not take free for an answer. They said, "No, we want to bless you because you're blessing other people." And it was just really, really fascinating. The truth of the matter is when we discover the joy of giving, the blessing of giving, and the privilege of giving and doing it God's way with God's motives living in our heart, not because we have to, but because we want to, then we are going to see a whole new level of contentment arise in our life. If you ever go to a yard sale, here's what begins to take place. Towards the end of the yard sale, on Saturday, people have a motivating force in their life, and that is this: if I do not sell this today, I've got to haul it all back into the house, put it back in a place, and I've got all of this stuff that I don't need any longer, you know, cluttering up my house, and therefore they become highly motivated to liquidate those and see if those items can be a blessing to someone else. What if we realized that when God births the desire to give inside of us and he plots a strategy for us to set us up to succeed, what if we were as motivated to give, say, "You know what? I've got to make room in my life for God's next blessing. This is going to meet a need in someone else's life." And so what happened after that free yard sale that we had, My wife and I, we had some yard sales at our home from time to time. And back in those days, money was very, very tight. And to get up and do a yard sale on our only day off was exhausting. And what we said was this: from here on out, we're not going to be worried about whether or not we're going to make, you know, $5 or $10 or $15 doing a yard sale. We're going to choose to bless people. We would rather just give it away than to have to go through all of the work and hauling out and setting up and trying to protect from rain. We'd just rather say, you know what, God bless you. And so if someone needs clothes, we're able to bless them with clothes. And sometimes people need furniture, and we can bless them with furniture. About a year and a half ago, I think it was, I preached my pastor's funeral, and his son-in-law said, I remember when the church first started that I helped haul his personal bed probably four or five times myself. You see, they would encounter people who had no bed, and the pastor would say, well, I've got a bed, and I'll give it to you. And what they didn't know was that meant that he no longer had a bed, but he just wanted to be a blessing to people. I tell you, the joy of being a blessing, it gets to be contagious. It get not competitive, but contagious. And we don't want to ever become like Ananias and Sapphira and say, well, you know, we're going to try and make ourselves look good to the rest of the people and say, oh, wow, look, we sold a piece of property and we gave everything away, but actuality, they kept it. You don't want to ever present yourself in a deceptive manner to God, because you're never going to succeed in lying to God. He always knows the truth, and you don't ever want him to use you as an example of what not to do, the way that happened with Ananias and Sapphira. That's a message you don't hear very often, but it's true. I do want you to experience the joy that comes from giving, though. And I pray that God will use you. So if you don't have a strategy, if you don't have a giving strategy, if you'll make it a matter of prayer, I think you'll find that God will speak to you, and you'll discover that your money will go further, and you'll be able to be a blessing to a lot more people than what you ever thought you could be. God bless you so much. Thank you for taking time to be a part of the Refresh radio program. Catch us tonight at 7 o'clock at church. If not, we will see you here tomorrow, 91.5 FM. God bless
you. Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
His love breaking through my heart.